Hello.
Hello.
I have given some of the young people some chocolate. If you are not so young but would also like some chocolate, you are very welcome to go and grab yourself a bar from the front. There's a tin.
but you're not allowed to eat it yet.
So you need to hold on to it for a minute.
You've got to come and get it. I know.
All right. So you can grab yourself some chocolate, but you've got to just, you know, restrain yourselves. Don't eat it just at this moment. Okay, so it's really good to see you all. If you're not sure who I am, I'm Susie. That's really all you need to know. We, over the last few weeks, have been doing a preaching service looking at the names of God. In fact, Martin has already done my introduction. He's very helpful. But I'm going to repeat it because, you know, it's written down on a bit of paper. So we've been looking through the Psalms, and Martin himself kicked us off a few weeks ago talking about the Most High God. Then James talked about the Lord is my shepherd. And then Tim, wherever he's gone, I don't know. Tim talked about the Lord mighty in battle. And today I have the fab job, really, of talking to us about God, my great or my exceeding joy. El Simchatji. So, it's a slightly, not weird one, but the translation of El Simchatji can either be God, my great joy, or God, my exceeding joy. And I've gone for exceeding, partly because of Mr. Kipling cakes. They are exceedingly good. But also, some of you will know that I spend a little bit of my life being a teacher. Don't hate me for it. And it's one of those phrases that you use in reports quite often, actually. You write, they've exceeded expectation. This exceeds expectations. Yes, kid, like young people, if you have that written about you, you're exceeding expectations.
Yeah. Of course you are.
And actually, it's one that I write quite a lot and probably don't think about it too much, because if you're exceeding expectations, you are so much more than I could have expected. If you're eating as Mr. Kipling cake, it is so much better than any other cake. Okay, so this is God, my exceeding joy. So, what is joy? It's the middle name that we gave to Eliza, because we thought it sounded nice. In the dictionary, it describes it, or defines it, should I say, as a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. And it's got those kind of like inverted commas, and it says tears of joy. I guess that's suggesting that it's that one extra emotional leap on from kind of plain old happy. Yeah, it's a bit more, exceedingly, a bit more. And the doing word of joy, the verb, is to rejoice. And actually that word for me, in some ways, I don't know, it makes more sense. I know what to rejoice is. I know what it is to kind of be exuberant in my praise and rejoice. And that kind of helps me, because it's like, yeah, it's that one bit more from just being happy. It's bigger. And that really stirs something in me. So I don't know whether it does for you, but the doing word is rejoice. So this is God, and he's a doing God, so I feel like he's doing a lot of that as well. God is our exceeding happiness, our exceeding pleasure, our exceeding joy. And over the last few weeks, actually, with the different preachers that we've heard on the names of God, one of the things that has been kind of coming up in each of them is that God doesn't waver from his name. He is consistent. He is consistent and he is faithful. So he is always our exceeding joy, always and forever and forever. And we just sung, didn't we? My gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. And he's like, yeah, because he will be our exceeding joy for all of eternity. So this isn't just something for now. This isn't just something for Sunday the 12th of November 2023. This is forever God, my exceeding joy. Okay. Unlike other bringers of joy. Now, through the power of the internet, I found a very, very well, what's the word? Undisputed research, of course, and it's all about ice cream. And the research was conducted by some kind of scientist in Belgium, and of course I know all the kind of stuff, I can cite it in lots and lots of different documents, I really can't, but through the internet. And it says that by almost half. So when a fatty, sweet substance enters your body, feelings of sadness will reduce by almost half. Now, unfortunately, the effect is fairly short-lived because you digest the ice cream and then it's gone. And if you just keep eating ice cream, eventually your teeth will fall out, you'll have diabetes, you might even have a heart attack and die. So it's not great. I'm not prescribing you to just eat ice cream. Plus, we live in the UK and quite frankly, it's too cold. But ice cream can be, for some, a short moment of joy. Now, for me, it's chocolate. Chocolate is my reduce my feelings of sadness, probably by more than half, actually. It's flipping brilliant. You have all got, well, you haven't, but some of you who've chosen to, have got a chocolate bar in your hands. Now, this chocolate bar, you're going to continue to eat throughout my preach. Now, you have no idea how long I'm going to preach for, 2 weeks. You're going to make this chocolate bar last, because this is your joy, okay? So you've got to keep nibbling at it, because you're going to need, you know, more and more joy to get you through the preach. But you can't let it run out. So you've got to kind of be measured in how much you take each bite. You can't just sit there with it open and not nibble at it. All right, got to be like little squirrels, nibbling at your chocolate. Okay. I love, I'm just going to wait while we unwrap our chocolate. Start nibbling. Has anyone gone for a crunchy? They're going to feel more like conspicuous, aren't you, with the crunch? More like a double decker, be a bit like stuck together. Yeah. Okay. Now, funny enough, God is not like ice cream or chocolate. There is no downside to his joy. You can't overindulge. It can't cause you problems later down the line. It's not going to run out. It's not going to only be here for the however long this preach is. You don't have to measure it. You don't have to take small portions of it and kind of think, oh, better not use up too much because it might go. It's not like that. We've already said God is consistent. He is faithful. And he is eternal. So his joy is forever, ever, unlike ice cream. But remembering the truth of who God is can be a huge battle in our own head. Well, I think it can. Maybe it's just my head, but I think it's a battle sometimes to remember God is my exceeding joy. So let's have a little bit of a look at where this verse comes from. So we're looking at Psalm 43, if you've got your Bibles with you. And obviously Martin just brought to us the beginning this morning, Psalm 42, as the deer pants for the water, etc. And actually, I sort of read through it again, and Psalm 43 really is just a continuation of Psalm 42. There isn't a huge change in the feel of it in a lot of ways. It's quite sad. It's quite a hard read in some respects. And it's not what I expected the passage to be when I read the title of this preach. When I read the title, God My Exceeding Joy, I was like, oh, that's good. It's going to be a happy, clappy one. I can probably do that. I was quite happy, clappy. It will probably be some kind of rejoice with the lyre and the timpani and all that sort of thing. But it isn't. It's a harder read than that. And actually, I think that's really good. Obviously, the Bible's really good. But it's really good because it means that there's a reality in this. Because we know that life isn't just rejoicing with your harp and your lyre or whatever you've got to hand. There is some downsides, there are some bad moments, there are some tricky times. So let's have a read of Psalm 43 together. It says, "Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." This is David's prayer. This is David speaking. This is so honest, isn't it? I would not particularly like all my prayers to be written in a book of the Bible to be read by millions of people. It's his whole soul, isn't it, laid bare for us to learn from. Like, how cool is that? And David isn't just a kind of, you know, him and have the easiest of lives. If you know something about his life, if perhaps you've sort of read something about him in the Bible, you know that he went through huge challenges, circumstantial challenges, things that happened to him, things that were of his own doing. He got himself into some scrapes at times. So this is heartfelt and this is real and this is what he is honestly feeling right now. And it is that kind of juxtaposition against the truth of what we know about God against what is going on in my head. So, verse 2. But you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? It's that objective truth against what is going on in my head. I know that you are a God in whom I do and I can take refuge. I know that. Why am I still sad? Why do I still feel like this? Why do I still feel like I'm far away from you? I feel like I might be rejected by you. I feel all these things. I know this. I feel this. I mean, is it just me that relates to that? Or is it every single person in the room? Because sometimes your heart and your mind, they lie to you, don't they? You feel something and you know it's not real, you know it's not true, but I can't shake what I feel. And this is how David really feels. He feels that rejection. He feels in mourning. He feels oppression. And then that is then in turn juxtaposed against verse 3, which says, send me your light and truth, let them lead me, then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. He's asking God to lead him. He's asking God to send him help. He's asking God to meet him where he is, where he feels rejected and he feels oppressed and he feels in mourning. He's asking for God's light, for his truth, to be led to who he knows God is, his exceeding joy. Does that make sense? So what are we leaning on as our objective truth? What are we filling ourselves with? And where do we want to go? What do we want God to do for us? When we're feeling these feelings, where do we want to go? In the midst of suffering and hardship, do we look for joy in God? Are we turning to him, or are we turning to what might be easier, the things the world can offer us? Money, sex, status, ice cream, chocolate, appearance, stuff. Stuff's a good one, isn't it? Just buy some more stuff. And are those things very faithful? Do they last? Are they steadfast? Do they lead us to someplace good? I mean, they might do for a bit. You know, going out and shopping, buying myself a new skirt. It's good. But it's not lasting, is it? If I keep eating the ice cream, I'm going to grow out of the skirt. Like, it's not. It's not faithful. It's not consistent. And I'm not going to lie, they disappoint, don't they? How many times have you ordered something on Amazon, it's come through and you've kind of gone, it's not as great as I thought it would be. The things of this world, we can't take them with us. They don't last. They perish. They're not God. It feels like a really obvious one, but they're not God. The other group that we might fall into is perhaps that we don't believe we can have joy in the suffering. Perhaps we feel like we might deserve the hard times. You know, that it'd be wrong seek joy in the midst of suffering. I have definitely spoken to people in the depths of mourning and bereavement who've expressed guilt for laughing. We lie to ourselves so often, we think we don't deserve it, we don't deserve God's joy. Because I really should be feeling this suffering, I deserve this suffering. And that might be, you know, a suffering that is completely, you know, not anything to do with you, not your fault in any way. But I don't know, you compare yourselves to other people and you think, well, they've been through this and this and this, and you know, all I've gone through is this, and it doesn't really compare, and I shouldn't need God in this. I should be able to do this alone. Or perhaps we're in the group where our suffering is a result of sin. David can identify with that. Sometimes stuff goes wrong and suffering happens because we did some bad stuff. It does. I know that's not very nice to hear, but that is the truth of it sometimes. Perhaps we don't feel like we deserve God in those times. Perhaps we're condemning ourselves to feeling rubbish about it. We want to punish ourselves. Now, as I said, David did do his fair share of stupid stuff, and he made fairly large mistakes, and he did suffer. But this psalm, and Psalm 42, shows us that even in the midst of those feelings of rejection and even perhaps guilt, David does still seek the joy of the Lord. And it's not just a little bit of fleeting happiness that he is after, but he is looking for God, my exceeding joy. The joy that goes above and beyond any other kind of earthly happiness. So, okay, how do we feel the joy of God? Because if you are in the midst of suffering, that can be tough. That can, you know, you can still feel, you can still be in this camp of feeling that rejection and that sadness and that mourning and all those other things. You can still feel that. So how do I train my heart and mind to feel the joy of the Lord? Well, what's the answer in Sunday school always?
Jesus.
Sweet, obvious, isn't it? It's Jesus, and it's his gift of the Holy Spirit to us. Yeah, the Holy Spirit, if we believe the words of the Bible, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. He lives in us. And there are lots of verses that tell us about the Holy Spirit living in us, and that he is God. Yeah, we believe in a Trinitarian God, and we believe that God is my exceeding joy. That's the name of God that we've already said is faithful and consistent forever and ever. So if the Holy Spirit dwells in us, that's the God that dwells in us. So 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells within you?" Do you know that? Do you believe that? Romans 8, verse 11 says, "If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you," so if you do believe it, do you really believe who he is? "The Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." It's really clear. He lives inside of you. God. Pretty huge. He lives in you. He's chosen to dwell in you. And then, I guess, what do you see from that? If the living God through his Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, his living temple, Galatians 5 talks about the fruits of the Spirit. And what we see, the fruit of the Spirit that dwells within us is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. It's really good stuff. Quite like some of that stuff. That stuff is better than the earthly stuff. And you know what? We can ask. We can ask for that. David asked. David asked. for God's light and truth to lead him. We can ask for God's joy to be imparted into our life. In John 16, it says, verse 24, until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. We can ask for this. We can beg for this. We can be honest with God. We can tell him how we feel. And that's not detracting from that. I'm not saying that's not true. That's not what you feel. That is what you feel. I get that. David gets that. But you can ask for God's joy. You can ask for exceeding joy. It doesn't have to be a little bit. So, the question I guess for today is, where are you putting your hope in times of distress? What are we doing right now? What are we doing when times are hard right now? You can know the theory of this. You can know, well, it's great, but you can go away from here and go back home to normality. Verse 5 of Psalm 43 says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will praise him, my Saviour and my God. This is David almost giving himself a little bit of a telling off. Why are you still feeling like this? Why do I still feel like this? Because you know what, sometimes you're going to. Sometimes you are. Sometimes life will be hard. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why? Why? Put your hope in God, for I will praise him, my Saviour and my God. It's kind of the doing bit. I will praise him. I will worship him. I will do the rejoicing. I will talk to God. I will spend time with God. I will fill my mind and my heart with the living truth of the word of God. I will do the doing as well as the asking. I will do the doing. And this application, David's really helpful in this psalm. He's sort of given me a bit of a preach and then an application at the end, which is, you know, apparently what you want according to, you know, people that preach well. This is the application, but it's written in first person for a reason. And I think we've got to be careful. Because if we just say, if I just say, yeah, life's tough, put your hope in God, it'll all be all right. I mean, you just want to slap that person around the face when you do that, don't you? Just go away. I know that's true. I've been a Christian for long enough. I do know that's true. But that's really hard to sometimes hear from somebody else. Like, even well-intentioned, it can... Walk with me in the suffering. Pray for me. Love me. Point me to God. But don't just tell me it's going to just be all right. David says it to himself. He does say it to himself. He says to himself, why am I sad? Why do I still feel like this? David, put your hope in God. Why do I feel sad? Why do I still feel like this? You know, the enemy is still surrounding me. I still feel oppressed. Susie, put your hope in God. Lift your eyes to God. Praise God. Yeah, that's an easier one in some ways, isn't it? Tell yourself. So, are there people here who are feeling overwhelmed by the world around us? Honestly, are things hard? Because if they are, there are people here that really love you and really care for you and would want to stand with you and be with you in those times. But we know that God is telling us to put our hope in God. God is telling us that he is our exceeding joy, that he will go above and beyond ice cream or chocolate. How do you think of chocolate? Lottie, you're licking the wrapper just to kind of keep it going. God is offering us so much more than ice cream. He's also offering us so much more than just neutrality. It's not just that it won't, it's not just okay to not be sad. He's offering us exceeding joy. It's so much more than just okay. Offers us so much more than just okay. But it requires a boldness from us to not just say, I will be okay, but to be honest. Say it like it is. David was really honest. The Psalms are really honest. He tells us exactly how he feels and what's going on. He tells God exactly how he feels and what's going on. He doesn't just go, I will be okay because I've put my hope in God. He's honest. And then he tells himself, I will put my hope in God. So, there might be some of us here today, as I said, that could do with being honest with God, telling God how it really is. Maybe there's been a season of your life that you've tried to be okay. You're probably doing a really good job of it on the outside. But on the inside, there might be some people here that feel the way David felt. And I think the Bible tells us that that's totally okay and normal and expected. But we do trust in a living God who dwells in us by his Holy Spirit and who is called God my exceeding joy. And we can ask him for his light and his truth to lead us so that we can do the rejoicing and praising and experience the joy of the Lord. So I would love it if any of you are brave enough, I'd love to pray with you. I'm sure Ian will have a good way of leading that. I don't have a good way of leading that, but Ian will. But I'm just going to pray for us all now. And can I invite the worship team to come back up as well? Oh, I should have checked. Who managed to make the chocolate last, right to the very end? Oh, well done. Who has been too easy and has got loads left over? Martin, loads left over. Rubbish.
We down it then.
I like Lottie's method of nicking the wrapper. I will get every last morsel of joy from my chocolate. Good one. Yes, Father God, we thank you so much for the truth of your word. Lord, I thank you for the honesty of David. Lord, I thank you that I can read the Psalms and I can know that I'm not alone in feeling some of the things that I've felt in my life. And Lord, I know that you're not a God that condemns that. You're not a God who just tells me to get on with it. You're not a God that's just telling me to just pick my own self up and dust my own self off, Lord. You are a God who lives within me to guide me and to help me and to love me and to let me experience your joy. And Lord, I pray that for here, Lord. I pray that today for these lovely people who are sat here. I pray for each one of them would know your steadfast, consistent, exceeding joy that lasts our lifetime and beyond. Amen.